Good morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
Thank you all for braving the snow and the ice and the cold to be here. And appreciate everybody joining with us on Facebook as well. We will talk ugly about you after the service, so don't worry about that. But no, we do appreciate you being here. We know it's a little nasty out, but appreciate you coming to church. So no choir, no small groups tonight. You all are off the hook because it is supposed to get that much colder. So you guys can wrap up and not have to worry about getting back out. I want us to reach our hands out and give ourselves a big hand, and then I'll tell you why. You guys did a fantastic job for the Christmas store, brought in all kinds of toys. I was down there last Sunday with Linda and I was pretending to help, and then I saw the work was going to get dicey, so I got out of Dodge. But there was all kinds of stuff, and you guys had given a lot of funds. Linda did a lot of shopping on Black Friday and was able to make the most of the money that you all had donated. But we were able to help 25 different families and provide gifts for about 75 different children. So that has just continued to get bigger. We appreciate what Miss Carolyn got going and then what Linda and all her helpers have kept going. But it just gets bigger every year, and we appreciate you guys for doing what you do in order to make that happen. So let's give Linda and her crew a big hand for that. But that's definitely what it's all about, and we appreciate y'all supporting that. All right, Wednesday night, barring any other snow, we will be back on track for regular activities, children, youth, and adults at 6 p.m. So don't forget about that. And then it's hard to believe that next Sunday is the final Sunday of Advent. So if you've not got all your gifts bought, this week is the time to do it, because after next Sunday, Amazon may not deliver. So don't forget to be here for the final Sunday of Advent in anticipation of Christmas. And then we've been announcing for several weeks the Christmas Eve Family Communion. And so there is a sign-up sheet. So several of you all have already signed up. So make sure you check that out in the foyer on your way out if that's something that you would like to participate in. There are different times available. Bread of Life Ministry that we do every month, there's a new sign-up sheet out there for the meal that will be in the beginning of January. So don't let that sneak up on you with Christmas and everything like that, because we'll need to go ahead and be getting that ready and getting the food or the donations in. So please check that on your way out the door. You all have done a fantastic job as well on the Christmas cards back there. I know many of you all have already done them and are not slacking doing them today like me. But if you have not had a chance to put those in, you can still do that next Sunday for the fellow churchgoers. If you want to just do one generic one for the whole church, that Christmas tree is back there as well. And make sure that you are getting your cards. If you're not doing that, to grab those on your way out the door today. But thank you all for being here. And one other thing, if you ordered a NYC fundraiser shirt from the teens, those are here today, and you can grab those also on your way out the door. So if you're getting that for somebody for Christmas, you're in good shape. It's here today. So don't forget to grab those on your way out the door. And then check out the bulletin for all the other things that I can't cover in my time up here. Thank you all for being here.
We continue today to celebrate Advent, and the light is growing progressively brighter. The third candle of Advent is typically called the candle of joy. We are reminded of Mary's joy as she proclaimed in Luke 1, 46 and 47, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Some recognize this candle as Mary's candle, thus the pink color. Whatever the tradition, the prophet in Isaiah 35, 1 through 10, foretold the joy that would be experienced as the Lord's Messiah would come. Here's what he wrote. "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you." Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. We light this candle to remember that Christ brings the promise of a new life, a life in which the blind receive sight, the lame walk, and the prisoners are set free. We light it to remember that He is the one who brings us true and everlasting joy. Join me in prayer this morning. Father, we're taking time away from our busy year to celebrate the coming of the Messiah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you today that you sent your Son to save us from our sins, to reconcile us to you, to give us eternal life. And as the scripture said from Isaiah today, to give us everlasting joy. So we praise you for that fact today, Lord. And we open up our hearts and minds to worship you today. But Father, there are probably some that are saying, well, Satan is fighting real hard to rob me of my joy today. I'm in the desert. My knees are weak. My heart is fearful. And I lift up the family members of our church that are going through that today, Lord. May they catch a new glimpse of who you are and what you have for them. May their sorrow and sighing flee away as they look to you for all that they need in their lives today. We open our hearts and minds now to you, Father, as we worship. May we hear from you, each one personally, what we need today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This morning we're going to sing an old Christmas carol, How Great Our Joy. And when we get down to the chorus in this song, there's a leader part and then there's a followers part, a congregational part. And so it's up there. You'll kind of see what we're going to do. You've probably heard the tune before. You may have never heard the song, but it's a beautiful song. Let's sing together. Let's stand together as we're able.
Praise we the Lord in heaven on high.
Thankful, folks, that God will do great things. Whether there's 100, whether there's 5, He's in our presence today. And He is here to do great things in us. So I want you to listen to the words of this song. We just learned it a few weeks ago, but I can't get over it. I can't get away from it because He's done great things in my heart.
He has done great things. He has done
our God.
Set before him, endured the cross, despised its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. You did this for the glory that was set before you, and we know that it was this great, glorious thing that it was for you to present us to God, holy and blameless. It's not something that we do. It's something that you did. And we know it cost you everything. And so we thank you for it with joy in our hearts. It's in your name that we approach the Father. It's in your name that we pray. It's in your name that we have joy. Amen.
Several have asked about the family communion, the Christmas Eve family communion. This is something new that we've done. We had it scheduled 1 year, and because of weather, we had to cancel it. But what this is about is we are going to come together, you and your family. It's not for the whole church all at one time. It's for you and your family to come and to be here with the staff, and we're going to celebrate communion together. But then we're also going to have some time to talk, some time to pray together. And we're going to ask you, what things do you want us as your staff to pray with you and for you about for the coming year? And so it's just a very close time between the staff and those that choose to come and to be a part of that. So if you want to be a part of that, we've got about 15 minutes slotted out in that afternoon. And we're going to begin about 3 o'clock. And if we have everybody sign up at 6:30 and we have one at 3, we're probably going to say, can we switch you around just a little bit? But anyway, it's a very, very special time. I've done it at several different places, and we did it in Baton Rouge, and it was very well received. And it's just a time for us to be with your family and celebrate the Lord's Supper and celebrate Christmas and Advent with you. So if you'd like to do that, be sure and sign up out there in the foyer for that. This morning, I want us to look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 67 and read down through verse 79. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 67 and going down through verse 79. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child," speaking here to John the Baptist, "and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it seems like almost every Christmas card that I've seen has something to say about joy. The first Christmas card that I got this year, addressed specifically to me, she has not even seen it. But the first Christmas card that I got that was addressed specifically to me, when I took the Christmas card out of the envelope, the only thing that was on the front of that card was the word joy. It seems like when you begin to talk about joy, that's one of the things that you should say and you should talk about in this season. I mean, the angels told the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." Well, the birth of Christ, it was a time of great joy. It was a time of great joy for the shepherds that night. But if you have been in any of the stores or in any of the parking lots this week, you're not going to see much joy, you know. And you're not going to see any happiness, you know. I found out a long time ago that there is a great difference between happiness and joy. You see, happiness is a temporary emotion that comes and goes depending upon our circumstances. But joy is not an emotion. Joy is something that is internal. Joy is something that is eternal. And joy, based on what I read in the Word of God, it remains regardless of the circumstances. This morning, we're going to go back a few months in our reading, and we've already done that, but we're going to go back a few months before the birth of Christ to see what Zechariah had to say about Christ coming. I look at this and I read this, and as you read this, the word joy is not in that passage. You notice that. You're smart people. But there was something that was happening in that man. There was something that happened in that man that demonstrated by the things that he said the great joy that he was experiencing, the great joy that had suddenly come to him because of the realization of what was happening in him and through him, the one that was coming. And I'm not talking about John the Baptist that had just come. I'm talking about the one who was coming, was bringing great joy to the heart of this older man. I want us this morning to really look at what brought him joy and realize that same thing that brought him joy can also bring joy to your heart, to my heart today. When you begin to look at this, you're going to find out that Zechariah had joy because of the redemption of God. Look at verse 68. There in verse 68 it says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people." Now, Israel understood this phrase. They understood what they were talking about. They had been taught about a kinsman redeemer who could come and who could redeem a piece of property, or who could come and redeem a person who had been sold into slavery. If you read the book of Ruth, there you find Boaz and Ruth. They're prime examples of this thing of redemption. They knew of the redemption that the prophet Hosea and his wife named Gomer. I'm not making that up. They had seen what he had done. They knew that there was a redeemer. They knew that there was one who was coming who would, at one point in time, hopefully soon, as far as these people were concerned, but they knew that there was a Redeemer who would come to redeem Israel from their sins. They knew that there was a Redeemer who would come, but that it was always some far-off concept. That was always something that they thought was out there in the future. In fact, the sad part to me today is the fact that many of them are still looking and hoping for a Redeemer to come, even though he has already come. Zechariah was a priest. He was, as Luke chapter 1 verse 6 says, a man that was upright in the sight of God. But he and his wife Elizabeth had no children. It's much like what we're going to talk about this morning. It's much like the Abraham and Sarah story. The event that happened there is really what you see here, because they are an older couple. They didn't have any children. And finally, he was performing his duties in the temple, and the angel Gabriel appeared to him with an announcement about a baby that was going to be born to them. Zechariah couldn't believe it. Now, as old as I am, I understand his shock. I understand what he would, you know, I mean, all of these things had to be going through his mind. He couldn't believe it. In fact, he told the angel that he couldn't believe it. And so Gabriel told him that he was going to be silent until the baby was born. For Elizabeth, that might have been a wonderful thing. For Zechariah, it was not. For months, Zechariah couldn't say anything. For months, all that Zechariah could do was contemplate about that meeting that he had had in the temple. For months, all he could do was read the scripture and try to put together all the things that were happening. For months, what God was doing had to be on his mind. For months, I think, he thought of the Redeemer that was to come. And I think he had to be thinking for months of what this child that had just been announced to him that was going to be his and Elizabeth's, what part would this child play in all of this? For months he had thought about it but couldn't express it. My dad, when I was 12 or 13 years old, he was pastoring and had to have surgery on his vocal cords. And so for about 6 weeks, he could not talk. And so things went bad in that surgery. And in just a few months, His voice went from a normal pitch to the point that if he answered the phone, you would have thought that it was my mom answering the phone because his voice went so high. So they had to go back in and then do another surgery in order to correct that. And I watched my dad as he went through those months of silence. And he wrote everything down. And Daddy's handwriting wasn't where you could really read it. And if he got real excited, then you really couldn't read it, you know. But for months, he went without talking. But the good news was, they were able to fix that. The good news for Zechariah was that he was told that until that baby got here, that he would be silent. And so for all of these months, he had been thinking, for all these months he had been contemplating, for all these months he had been going through all of this thing in complete silence. But after months of silence, when they try to name the boy after his dad and Zechariah says no and wrote that his name would be John, all of a sudden he was able to speak. All of a sudden, all the things that had been there, all of the thinking, all of the pondering that had gone on, all of the looking, all of the reading, everything that was there, all of that suddenly had to come forth. I mean, it's an amazing thing. All of it had to do with God. All of it had to do with the redemption of God. All of the months of prayer and the silent adoration suddenly turned into glorious, unhindered praise. Turned into sheer joy over what God was doing and how God was at work. Isn't it amazing that Zechariah, after being silent for months, the first thing that he does is he praises God? Well, I probably would too, but he just doesn't start with, well, praise the Lord, I can talk. He begins to talk about what God is doing. Something within him sprang out in joyous praise to God. Something about the Redeemer that was about to come made his joy overflow to all the people around that. You say, William, why are you saying all this and stressing all this? Well, the reason that I'm stressing all this is because Zechariah knew that there was a Redeemer coming. And that this Redeemer was going to do something for Israel that no one else could. I think Zechariah began to understand things because of all the things that he had been able to look at and all the things that he quotes as he's giving this song of praise to God. He begins to understand that this babe that he is holding, because he speaks to that child, this babe that he is holding is going to be the forerunner of the one. The Most High God is coming, and He is going to redeem His people. Isn't it amazing how we get so caught up in things in our world? We really do. I mean, we get so caught up in things in our world. We begin to look at gifts, and we begin to do all these things. And folks, I'm not up here preaching against you giving gifts, so don't shut down on me just yet, okay? But I found out a long time ago that what happens with the gift giving is when someone gives us a gift, then we get this thing in our mind. Well, when we give them a gift next year, we have to do at least equal or greater to the gift that we got, which in turn makes them think they've got to do greater or equal to the gift that they received. So it just keeps climbing and climbing and climbing to the point you say, I am tired of gift giving. Not, you're not tired of gift receiving. We used to draw names as a family. That turned into a nightmare. The year that Susie and I told everybody, well, what we're going to do is we're going to give gifts to the kids. Well, we get there to give gifts to the kids that are there, and my sister, bless her, had already bought gifts for everybody. So we decided that we would draw names. So we drew names. And Susie and I decided that what we would do one year is we would give sweaters to everybody. And so we go to Walmart. We buy sweaters. I open up the shirt that cost twice what the sweater cost. Folks, Christmas is not about the gifts. Christmas is about the gift of the Redeemer that has been sent to us. You see, when we come together, the reason that so many times we don't feel the joy that we really should feel at this point in time is because we've been caught up in so much of the world around us. And God really wants us to experience joy. And not just joy right here, right now. He has come in order that we might be redeemed, in order that we might be bought out of the slavery in which we find ourselves because of sin. He has come that we might be redeemed. And so when Zechariah begins to praise, Zechariah praises God for the joy that was coming through the Redeemer that was going to be born. He praises God for the redemption of God. But he also praises God for the rescue of God. Look at verse 72. Verse 72, he says, he's doing this to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. Zechariah saw something in the birth that was about to take place that very few people saw. He didn't just see redemption, he saw rescue. For years, Israel had been under the subjection of many different rulers. For years, they had been under the tyranny of a lot of different men. They had been hostages in their own land. They had been taken prisoner in foreign lands. But Zechariah saw one that was coming that would set Israel free, not from their captors, but from themselves. I mean, Zechariah understood that they would be set free from the hands of their enemies. I mean, that follows after all the prophecies of the Old Testament. But Zechariah saw more than that. Zechariah saw that this one that was coming would rescue them from themselves so that they could worship God in holiness and righteousness. You see, this is not just freedom from captivity. This is freedom to enable them to live the way that God intended for them to. And that thrilled Zechariah. You know, one of the greatest things that I believe that we proclaim as Wesleyan Arminian folks is that God doesn't want us to continue in our sins. God wants to enable us to live for Him in righteousness and holiness in order that we might know the joy that He really came to bring us. You see, we can have joy not just at Christmas time, but we can have joy every day of our lives. That's what this is all about. We can be rescued by the liberator of our souls. We don't have to live in bondage. We don't have to live in slavery to ourselves. We don't have to live in slavery to sin. We don't have to be held hostage by all of the things that are surrounding us. He has come in order that He might rescue us. Not just leave us as we were, as we are, but to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve Him without fear and holiness and righteousness before Him all of our days. I mean, that is a beautiful verse. There are so many people that need to be rescued. Folks, I'm going to tell you, all you got to do is right up and down the road. All you got to do is walk through the stores. All you got to do is try to make your way through the parking lots. And there are people that need to be rescued. They need to be rescued. They don't need just 12 suggestions for something that's going to help you have a better life. They need to be rescued. About to get real close, okay? And if you and I believe what we say we believe about the Word of God, we have the remedy for them. We have the message of rescue that we can offer them. I mean, we really do. God didn't save us just to leave us. He saved us to transform us, to enable us, to help us to live a life that's filled with joy. We have been rescued by the great emancipator of our souls. We have been set free, and that should give us joy. Joy unspeakable. Joy. But not only does he speak here about the redemption of God and the rescue of God, but it's interesting how he puts it. He talks here about the rising Son of God. Look at verse 76. "And you, my child." Can't you just see that old man holding that baby? I mean, really. I told you a couple of weeks ago about the nurse. She just handed me Megan, and I'm telling you, all of a sudden, I was in love. And then it happened again. Kaylee was in my arms, and I was in love again. "But you, my son," listen, "you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. It's kind of funny. You go back to even Numbers 24, verse 17. And there through Balaam. You remember Balaam. Balaam was supposed to go out and curse the people of Israel. But every time he got up, he was paid to do this. And every time he got up, instead of cursing, blessing just flowed from his mouth. And there in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, even Balaam, he prophesies about a star or a sun that would rise out of Israel to rule and to reign forever. Isn't that amazing? Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 speaks of those living in the land of darkness, that they're going to see a great light. Zechariah was just repeating everything that he had seen, everything that had come true in his own life. He was beginning to express with inexpressible joy the fact that this rising sun, not S-U-N, but the rising sun, S-O-N, of God was coming in his kid, his child, was going to prepare the way before him. I never knew what either one of our girls would become. We had baby dedication, two of them, in the past couple of months. And in both of those baby dedications, I said, and basically their lives are a blank slate. We don't have any idea what our kids will do, you know. Zechariah knew. Have you thought about that? He knew. He understood. He knew that this one who he held in his arms was going to be the forerunner of the one who would come and would dawn upon history, and as the sun dawns upon the day. This sun that was coming would dawn on darkened hearts as the sun comes up. You watch it and it begins to glow. And the colors in the sky begin to change. And all of a sudden it pops and there it is. Israel had been looking. Israel had been longing. They had been wanting this Redeemer to come, but they had it all confused. They thought he was going to free them from Rome or from Babylon. They thought he was going to free them from all those things, never realizing that he was coming to rise upon their own hearts and lives. The rising Son of God. And Zechariah was overwhelmed. He was just overwhelmed. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him. To give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And that's exactly what John did. This strange man shows up in crazy clothes, eating locusts and wild honey. Now, if it was locusts that fly, that was different, but probably it was the locust pods off of trees, but he was still a strange man. But he was proclaiming the correct message, the message of repentance, the message of turning, the message of following and having a relationship with God, who was not worthy to untie the laces of the one that was coming behind him, who was the first to see Jesus and declare, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What joy that old man must have felt, knowing that he held the forerunner of the Christ. I'm glad to tell you this morning that you can have joy. Jesus came as a light dawning on history. Even Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain." Did you hear that? "We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it." Listen, "as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." He's not talking about this thing. He's talking about a person that can come and give joy to you and to me. The very Son of God has burst upon the scene, or is about to burst upon the scene, to bring joy to people's hearts. Application. Zechariah had joy because of the redemption of God, because of the rescue by God, because of the rising Son of God. And we can experience that joy. Now, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to today. Not just the application, but let me give you an addendum. Aren't you impressed that I know that word? We get so caught up in this thing of happiness versus joy. Let me tell you. Do you realize that happiness, the word happiness in the New International Version, appears 6 times? And so if you go and you look at the word happy, happy appears 24 times. So if you want to put those together, you have happiness or happy appearing 30 times. Joy, on the other hand, appears over 200 times. Jesus said, "I didn't come in order that they might be happy." Now, he didn't come to make you sad either, okay? Don't get that. But happiness depends upon our circumstances. When the deer body slammed my truck, I was not happy. I didn't say anything ugly. I just said, "I wish he had died so that I could have had the meat." But the deer didn't take my joy, because the joy comes from Jesus. God wants us to have life-giving joy that lasts, that is not just temporary. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And someone in their devotional, in the Advent devotional, did this. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Get this, so that you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit, by the power of Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and happiness." No. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." And he goes on and names the rest of them. I have them written down. I do know them. But the main thing I want to share with you is what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 11. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." There you go. Everything that Jesus came to do is to bring us joy, is to fill us to overflowing with His joy. And I'm going to tell you, if you and I can live different lives, if we can live joy-filled lives in this present world, there are going to be people asking us, "What's different about you? How can you respond this way? How can you act this way?" It's because Jesus came to give us deep, abiding joy that's not dependent upon our circumstances, but is dependent upon our relationship with Him. See? Zechariah, in those months of silence, I think really came to understand who God was. Not a far off God out there somewhere that's just looking on, seeing what's happening. But a God who was with us. A God who was sending His Son to us. A God that was working to satisfy our deepest needs, our deepest longings, that hole that is in our heart that only He could fill. God was coming to bring us joy. Don't miss the reality that Jesus has come to give you everlasting hope, that Jesus has come to give you peace, that Jesus has come to give you joy. For folks, those have to be words. Those have to be words of the season. Jesus has come to give you joy. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together. It's cold outside, there's no doubt of that. But thank You for the warmth of Your joy that can fill our hearts, that can fill our lives. That when we begin to look at the rest of the world around us who are running around trying to find something to make them happy, this rising sun, this morning star, has come and has told us all that He has told us so that His joy might be in us and that our joy might indeed be complete. Lord, if there's one in this service this morning that they really don't have joy and their happiness is fleeting or their happiness is already gone, thank You, Lord Jesus, that You can give them deep, abiding joy, because that's what You came to do. That's what You came to do. To forgive us of our sins, to restore us to the relationship that we were designed to have, to live a life that is productive and a life that shows forth the praises of the One who lived and died so that we might know You and that we might have inexpressible joy. I thank You, Lord, for this time that we've had together. I thank You, Lord, for these that are here this morning. I thank You for those that are watching today by Facebook. May, Lord, we experience joy in this season. Not just hope and peace. Those are wonderful things. But may we really experience joy because of Jesus in our hearts. We give You praise. We give You honor. We give You glory. For what You're doing in our hearts, in our lives, in our church during this Christmas season. We give You praise this morning for Your joy that can be ours. We love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I'm glad you were here this morning. Thank you for all of you that are joining us on Facebook. It's right now a beautiful day outside. It is 20 degrees, just so that you'll know. We won't be having choir practice or small group this afternoon because of the frigid temperatures. I hope that you have a great week. Tomorrow's supposed to be beautiful. Enjoy it while you can. God bless you. You're dismissed.